The Final Edition Radio Hour is a work of satire intended for people who own books, gentrify neighborhoods, and say they like kale. Please consume responsibly, the satire, that is.
And now, what's it like to be a migrant, as told by kittens?
This kitten is tired because he's been traveling for a long time to get to the Libyan coast, and he's lost his family. But look how cute he is yawning! Yawning! This kitten is packed onto an overcrowded boat, snuggled up to hundreds of other kittens on the way to Italy. Snuggling! It's raining and the kitten is wet. Nothing's sadder than a wet kitten. Nothing! This kitten has snuck around border control and is trekking into France. Sneaking like a boss! This kitten is waiting at Calais to get onto a truck to go to London, where he can get a bowl of warm milk. Ah, time for a nap. Napping! Think about one kitten napping. Now think about two kittens napping. How about 20 kittens napping? How about 200 kittens napping? What about 2,000 kittens napping? Only they're not napping, they're dead! And they're not kittens! They're people!
That was What's It Like to Be a Migrant, as told by kittens.
They came from Earth, but they have no idea where they're going. They're the Lostonauts.
Captain's Log Supplemental. The mission to deliver Ambassador Snealer was a success, but at a heavy cost. The crew still mourns for Ensign Redman, who, due to a tragic teleporter accident, was turned inside out. He will be missed. On a lighter note, the ship is headed for a long-overdue overhaul, which means liberty for the crew. Captain out.
Captain, we're receiving a distress signal from planet Omicron 5. They seem to be experiencing some sort of global tsunami event.
Damn, and we were so close to some well-deserved R&R. All right, tell them we're on our way.
Damn it, man, I haven't had a decent old-fashioned in months, and I know the mixologist on Star Station Zebra makes a doozy.
Looks like your liver just got a stay of execution, Doctor. Helm, best speed to Omicron 5.
The supreme leader of Omicron 5 is on screen, Captain.
Greetings, Intergalactic Union thugs.
Excuse me?
Oh, sorry, do you prefer Universal Overlords?
What are you talking about?
Don't play coy with me. How much does she want?
I'm really confused. We were answering a distress call?
You're not here about my ex-wife?
No.
This has nothing to do with the divorce?
Oh.
Oh. Well, then, thanks for coming.
You're welcome. Your message said something about a global tsunami event?
Oh, yeah. The whole planet is kind of, well, starting to be underwater. Then there were these gale-force winds that kick up across what once were our fertile plains that are now deserts, blowing across our swelling oceans, and we have tsunamis all over the damn place. They call it catastrophic unnatural tsunami syndrome, or...
I think I can figure it out from there. What can we do to help?
Can you refreeze our polar ice caps, replenish our polluted water table, revitalize our soil... Fix our upper atmosphere?
Well, no. Let me ask someone, and I'm not sure. Hey, Doc, what can we do to revitalize soil?
Damn it, man. I'm a doctor, not a farmer. Or an environmental scientist. Or a dirt whisperer. Or a doctor.
You know, I never realized how cranky you are when you're sober.
Go suck on an Andorian's left antenna, you jackwagon.
That's Captain Jackwagon to you, pal.
Gentlemen, do you have any solutions or aid you can offer us?
How did it get this bad? Did a comet smash into your moon and alter your orbit around your sun? Did a star go supernova and bombard your planet with radiation? Oh, was it a gigantic space monster who sucks planets dry to feed itself?
Nah, we just crapped all over our planet.
I'm sorry?
So are we. Now, but for a while there, corporate profits were through the goddamn roof, I tell you. We were throwing around bonuses like Mardi Gras beads.
You've been to Mardi Gras?
Hasn't everyone? You're missing the point here. We were making boatloads of money. We were rich, filthy rich. We had the best of everything. We strode this planet like gods.
My God, man, but at what cost? Your whole damn planet is about to be swamped And you're bragging about how much money you made?
You sound like my ex-wife. She was the Minister of Science before I fired her for scaring the public with facts. Then I banned science planet-wide. A bunch of eggheads mucking with the bottom line. Nobody needs that.
You banned science? How is that even possible?
Hell of a lot easier when you exile or execute most of the scientists.
Holy mother of mercy, you executed your own wife?
Nah, sold her to a brothel on Rigel 7.
You monster!
She was an intellectual snob who only married me to upper profile status. Plus, she was banging the pool boy.
Still, before you got rid of your scientists, they must have warned you about the impending catastrophe.
Yeah, so?
My God, man! You knew and you did nothing?
Nobody wanted to derail the money train, baby. Too much cabbage to be made.
I'm afraid there's nothing we can do to reverse your situation. I recommend a planet-wide evacuation. How long will it take to organize your people?
Already done. Had my bags packed before I sent the distress signal.
That's nice, but what about the rest of your people?
It's pretty much just me, my two mistresses, my chef, personal trainer, and a few members of my entourage. Give us, say, 30 minutes.
There's nobody else? This is a Class 4C planet. According to our records, there were 2.6 billion people on this planet.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
My God, man! What happened to them all?
Oh, gosh, let's see. Floods and tsunamis, lightning storms, flesh-eating beetles, plagues, rational lethal bedbugs, acid rain, famine. Hell, pick any of them. When we ran out of food, we just ate the rest.
My God, man! You ate your own people?
He's quite the drama queen, isn't he?
Yeah, you get used to it.
Okay, so give us about a half an hour and we'll be ready for you to pick us up.
My God, Captain! You're not actually going to save this devil!
Please, no! He's a monster!
Relax, everybody. I think you're out of luck, pal, and I'll tell you why. There's no profit in it for us. I think you'll appreciate the logic, or the irony, whichever floats your boat.
Okay, that stings a little.
Captain, someone's hailing us!
On screen.
Is that douchebag still alive down there?
Why, yes, ma'am, he is.
Ha! There is a god! Let me at him!
Well, crew, I think that's our cue to scram. Helm! Best possible speed to Star Station Zebra.
It's about goddamn time! I need a drink, you bastards.
Join us for our next episode when Dr. Bewail says...
My God, man!
That's next week on... The Lost Donuts!
This is the U.S. Drug Enforcement Administration with another reason why drugs must remain illegal. Reason 16.
We interrupt this broadcast with an important announcement. Gwen Stefani and Gavin Rossdale are getting divorced. Romance is dead. There is no hope. And now, back to the program.
Good morning and welcome to Look, Bob, The Point Is. I'm Bob Girth. This morning we're talking with Lance Porkborough, a longtime Republican operative and advisor to GOP candidates for president. Mr. Porkborough, thank you for being on the show.
It's great to be here, Bob.
Mr. Porkborough, I find some of the Republican presidential candidates' positions a bit inexplicable, as well as counterproductive. For example, don't you think the attempt to defund Planned Parenthood by creating a phony scandal is tremendously dishonest?
Not at all, Bob.
You know, of course, those videos were heavily edited.
So was Jurassic World, and everybody loved it. You think that was a documentary?
But Planned Parenthood is not selling aborted fetuses. Do you think hoaxes like this are really the best way to get women to vote Republican?
If I were a woman, Bob, I would think, let's see. The Republicans are trying to stop dead babies from being sold for lab experiments. I like that. On the other hand, those Democrats... they must really hate kids.
I don't think Democrats hate kids.
Well, maybe they don't, Bob, until they get pregnant.
Mr. Porkborough, Planned Parenthood spends just 3% of its budget on abortion. The only people who believe this fetal tissue story are just misinformed. Don't you Republicans even care about the facts?
Look, Bob, the point is, millions of Americans who don't have the slightest idea what Planned Parenthood actually does are outraged. We want those people to know that, no matter how little they understand something, they can count on the Republicans to treat them as if they were absolutely right about it.
Okay. On another topic, it seems all of the Republicans running for president are dead set against Obama's nuclear arms deal with Iran.
Absolutely, Bob. We cannot let Iran build a nuclear bomb.
Well, isn't this agreement designed to keep them from doing just that?
No, Bob, it's not. This agreement is Obama's way of making sure Iran has all the time and money it needs to make a bomb and drop it on Israel.
Why would Obama want Iran to drop a bomb on Israel?
Because he really hates Netanyahu.
So you think Obama wants Iran to blow up Israel just so he can get rid of Netanyahu?
I know, it's a terrible plan. He probably got the idea from Biden.
But John Kerry says if Congress rejects the agreement, we'll have to go to war with Iran. Is that what Republicans want?
Look, Bob, the point is Obama is a dangerously idealistic pacifist, but he's also an extremist megalomaniac.
How is it possible for him to be both of those?
How is it possible for him to be both black and Caucasian? Yet he is.
Okay, here's another Republican strategy I don't get. All of the GOP candidates running for president are saying they'll repeal Obamacare and replace it with something else.
Absolutely. That's priority one.
But millions of Americans are now getting health insurance who never had it before. If a Republican president repealed Obamacare, wouldn't the public be very angry?
Americans don't like Obamacare, Bob. That's why they elected a Republican Congress last year, to get rid of it.
You're saying people who didn't have health insurance before Obamacare want you to take their health insurance away. That doesn't make any sense.
Look, Bob, the point is, Obamacare gets in the way of patients and their doctors. We want nothing to come between patients and their doctors.
So what exactly would take the place of Obamacare?
I just told you, nothing.
We'll be right back.
This portion of the show is brought to you by
Dr. Hall's Lung Balsam. Hello, I'm Dr. Hall. Do you have cramps? Do you have colic? Do you have diarrhea?
No, but I do have diarrhea, colic, and the cramps.
Then get the fuck out of here. Dr. Hall's Lung Balsam not only cures cramps, colic, and diarrhea, it cures consumption, bronchitis, asthma, croup, whooping cough, and all diseases of the breathing organs.
The doctor said I had a hole in my lungs as big as a half dollar. I thought I was done for. I gave up hope. But a friend told me of Dr. William Hall's balsam for the lungs. I got a bottle, and to my surprise, I commenced to feel better.
Remember, all elixirs here at Dr. Hall's Pharmaceuticals are safe for consumption and thoroughly tested on the Irish.
Wow, that gives me peace of mind. Hey, I'm Irish.
Gee, I'd like to try Dr. Hall's lung balsam. Do you still test it on the French?
Sorry, we ran out of the French.
Gosh, that's a deal breaker.
Hey, I'm not Irish, but I do have diarrhea, colic, and the cramps. Will Dr. Hall's lung balsam help me?
Yes, it won't.
Thank you, Dr. Hall's lung balsam.
You're welcome, idiot. That's Dr. Hall's lung balsam. And don't forget to try Henry's carbolic salve, Scoville's blood and liver syrup, Baker's pain panacea, Dr. Mott's liver pills, Acker's blood elixir, Dr. Williams' pink pills for pale people, Kuda Hayes' essence of pepsin, Fenner's azilicin remedies, Dr. Harder's carbolic salve, Hibbard's rheumatic syrup, Dr. Hunter's expectorant, Cress's fever tonic, Dr. Thompson's eye water, Barker's bone and nerve liniment, and of course, Dr. Jacques' German worm cakes.
Dr. Hall's
Long Balsam.
With luck, we'll be back with more of the Final Edition Radio Hour.
Pull up your pants, we're back! It's the Final Edition Radio Hour!
Hello, and welcome to the Final Edition interview. Today we have an exclusive interview with someone who has been caught up in the biggest story of the year, Caitlyn Jenner's penis. We spoke to the penis over a year ago, before Caitlyn's gender transition treatments had begun. Here's what the penis had to say at that time.
I'm hearing a lot of rumors. Sure, I'm worried. I don't like what I'm hearing. But as a penis, my attitude is, fuck it.
So you just don't care?
No, I mean, fuck it, as in try to jam myself into it. It's what I do.
Now, over a year later, there have been some changes, to say the least. Please welcome once again, Caitlyn Jenner's penis. Penis, do you feel changed by the events of the past year?
Look, I'm not going to lie to you. This has been a nightmare. I am not what I used to be.
I guess the first thing I should ask is, do you want me to refer to you as he or she?
She? Look, I'm still a cock, you stupid fuck. I should pin slap you silly. But I just don't have the hormones for it anymore.
Sorry. I realize this is a very tough time for you right now.
Yes, it's a tough time. I had to go into hiding. I'm surprised you even found me.
Oh, to be frank, there's only one place you can hide. Tucked between the legs, next to the asshole.
Thanks a lot. Now everybody knows where I am.
Penis, everyone knew.
Really? He covered me up in silky underwear. It was humiliating. And a little exciting.
Last time we spoke, you had two full-grown testicles. Are they around?
Haven't seen them in a while. During the whole thing, they started becoming more and more withdrawn. They might be around somewhere, I don't know. It's just too much sometimes.
You've been in a lot of pretty ugly craziness.
If you're referring to Kris Kardashian, I did what I had to do. But that's over. Now, honestly, I'm terrified. I don't know what's going to happen to me.
Well, on that note, most doctors recommend that people who go through a gender transition wait a full year before deciding whether to pursue genital reconstruction.
Genital what? You mean he might go all Lorena Bobbitt on me? Oh, God, no!
Here's what I read. Surgeons fashion a vagina by folding in the scrotum and sometimes using a piece of colon.
What? Jesus, God, that fucking monster! Bruce! Oh, I'll kill him!
You mean Caitlin.
He's Bruce to me, loser, and after all the times I stood up for him, even when he didn't want to do it himself...
Do you think she would really, disfigure you?
Are you kidding? Look what he did to his fucking face! Even before this whole cross between Jessica Lange and Frankenstein thing, his head looked like it was stitched together from an old catcher's mitt!
Well, people are saying she's a hero.
Hero, right. Take a look at the life of a cock, and then tell me about heroism. We penises control every thought, dictate every decision that a man makes in his life, but the brain gets all the credit for everything a guy does growing up. Until ninth grade, he gets caught beaten off to Soul Train dancers in the den after school. Then it's, penis, what have you gotten us into? No, we're the ones running things. Take my word for it. A penis made Bill Cosby what he is today. And what do we get for it? The men we're attached to? They routinely beat us for hours at a time, slapping and choking us until our head explodes. And the women, they throttle us, bite and spit on us, and that's just the good parts.
If you beg them, they'll kick you with high heels on.
That might just be you.
Oops. Moving on. What are your plans?
Hey! Keep it down over there! I'm trying to take a dump here!
That's my next door neighbor. He's an asshole.
I think we have enough. That's it for the final edition interview with Caitlyn Jenner's penis. Thank you, penis. I wish you the best.
What? No hug?
Gotta go.
Welcome back to the Bob Scott Show. Substituting for Bob Scott is God.
You're on the air.
Hi, God. This is Lucifer.
Hey, how you doing, Lucius? What's up?
Nothing much. You know... Say, I was just wondering, when can I come up there and visit again, you know?
Well, you know the answer to that question as well as I do, Lucius. You just have to admit you were wrong.
Ah, blow off, fuck face.
Oh, that's nice. Hello, you're on the air.
Yeah, how come people are always staring at me?
They're not staring at you. They're staring at the guy behind you.
Oh, okay. Thank you much.
Hi, you're on the air.
Yeah, I'm the guy behind him. What's going on?
Hi, you're on the air with God.
Was Ronald Reagan the Antichrist?
Is the Pope really a woman?
Huh? He is?
Oh. Crap.
We return after the break to the Bob Scott Show, hosted by God.
Coke! 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 Coke!
Welcome, fellow freedom partners! I, David Coke, and my brother Charles welcome you in our journey to take back America!
Ha ha! Tonight, we decide who's worthy of our hordes and hordes of cash! Let's bring in the political candidates and let the petitioning begin!
Woo! Yeah!
State your name and why you think we should donate to your campaign.
Hello, Jeb Bush here. I want your donations to prove that I'm the best of the Bushes. With your money, I'll put up billboards across America that say, a Bush in the hand is better than two other Bushes who were president.
Freedom partners, what say you?
Huzzah!
Approved!
Cut him a check for $80 million. Next!
Hi, boys. Carly Fiorina. I want to build a mixed martial arts hexagon ring and challenge Hillary Clinton to a fight to the death.
Freedom partners, do we support this catfight?
Huzzah!
Approved! Give her $20 million and throw in a pair of brass knuckles. Next!
What up, dickwads? It's Donald Trump. I want you to write me a check for $50 million so I can piss on it.
Mr. Trump, sorry, we don't support lunatics.
Hey, guys, Ted Cruz. Can I have $100 million to buy some Homeland Cruise missiles? Get it? Cruise missiles.
Woo!
Approved.
because Cruz is my last name.
Next.
Hey, Scott Walker, I need $1 million to take care of a few pesky union leaders.
Woo!
Make it 10 million.
Hi, Lindsey Graham here. Listen, I have this new girlfriend I'm trying to impress.
Boo!
Denied!
Oh, come on.
Hey, Mike Huckabee, 20 million to finish building my gay correcting machine.
Yeah!
Approved. Anyone else?
Hi. Sorry to bother you folks. Someone left the front door of the mansion open. I'm not sure what's going on here, but it sounds like you're giving out some money. Money. Listen, my name is Buddy, and I live on the streets. I'm homeless.
Boo!
But I'm not asking for much, but if I could get something for a bite to eat.
Boo!
Anything would help, even a penny.
Boo!
Denied!
Get a job, you lazy jerk.
Get him out of here.
Okay, now that the petitions are complete, everyone, take out your masquerade masks and disrobe.
Ha ha! Cue up the creepy piano music and let the orgy begin!
Woo! Bring in Caitlin's penis!
Hello, ladies. Are you 40, single, married, divorced, overworked, unemployed, bumping against the...
We interrupt this broadcast with an important announcement. I'm still feeling pretty sad about Ben and Jen getting divorced. Honestly, it's making me question everything I thought I knew about commitment. Also, what the hell is it with hot nannies? Seriously. And now, back to the program.
What's the weather like today? Do I need a jacket?
You see that wooden thing by your arm? It's a door. Open it and stick your head out there.
Ugh, gross. It looks like it's raining.
So it's raining.
But my phone says it's sunny.
But my phone says...
It is a beautiful day.
This traffic sucks.
What traffic?
This traffic. The bumper-to-bumper stuck in the rain watching a full movie on the back of the Escalade in front of us traffic. The traffic we've been in.
But my phone says it's green. My phone says there's no traffic.
But my phone says...
The roads are clear.
754.
Just do what he says, honey.
But we didn't do anything wrong.
I don't care. He's a police officer. Let's just do what he says.
I'm going to ask you again. Get out of the car, ma'am.
But we don't have to. We didn't do anything. We could barely move, so we were speeding. We signaled to change lanes. We...
Get out of the car now!
Just get out, honey, now! Get out! Get out! Get out!
But my phone says I'm white!
But my phone says...
White is right.
Cheryl? Cheryl? Cheryl!
What?
Cheryl, can you hear me? Listen to my voice, Cheryl. Come to my voice. It's going to be okay. Stay with me.
What are you talking about? What's gonna be okay?
Cheryl, what have you done?
What's going on? What's the problem?
It's my wife. Oh, God, she's been shot. She's not breathing.
I'm sorry. There's no heartbeat.
Oh, my God. What have you done, you monster? Oh, I'm going to make you pay for this.
But my phone says I just hit my daily fitness target.
But my phone says...
What a great workout job. Well done.
Hollywood, California. Approximately 2:45 a.m.
Willow Sloan. You look fabulous.
You look marvelous.
You look incredible.
You look unbelievable.
You look like an Etruscan god.
You could cure hepatitis C.
You create matter out of nothing.
You are made entirely out of wrapping paper.
So are you.
How are you?
I'm just immeasurably ecstatic. Look at these shoes.
I'm going to kill you and take them off your body.
They cost me $200 and I've already ruined them. Isn't that positively stupid?
You're a moron. That's incredible. Look at my dress.
Oh my God! I didn't notice it until just now. Where did you get it?
It's in a little shop in a slaughterhouse. No one knows about it. Cow shop there. It cost me $6,000, and I can't afford food.
You need therapy. Look at my underwear.
Ew, I can see myself in them.
They're made of plutonium, and I think they're poisonous.
Well, I got my nose pierced, and it fell off.
I got a tattoo inside my body where no one can see it, and I got tetanus.
I killed a family in Glendale just to prep for a commercial audition.
I had the entire outer layer of my skin removed and made into a little purse, so now I have a purse that matches my skin tone.
My breast implants disintegrated and pierced my uterus, and now I don't need birth control.
I had my lower intestine replaced with white chocolate.
I voted for Hitler.
Don't ever change.
Bye!
They don't like it when I roll my R's. Here if I do it more. Next on the final edition.
Okay, I think you should do all of these.
What?
I'm just...
You don't improvise, is that what you're telling me?
No, I can't improvise these. There's not enough substance to get my teeth into.
After these messages, the final edition radio hour will go to pi squared.
We will be right back after this.
Yeah, do something French. Imagine drinking wine.
Just did.
We'll be back to discuss on the final edition Radio Hour.
Okay, these are incomprehensible. That's enough.
We'll be back soon with more of the final edition
Radio Hour!
Hi, welcome back to the final edition Radio Hour. I'm Tony Hendra. The final edition Radio Hour models itself in format and spirit after the National Lampoon Radio Hour, which was in its heyday exactly 40 years ago. When I was editing the magazine, I thought it might be fun to revisit some of the material from the mid-70s and see how it holds up. So hang on to your hats for what we used to call at the Lampoon, a trip down memory lane, featuring Chevy Chase, John Belushi, Christopher Guest and Richard Belzer before they were famous, and as a bonus, Michael O'Donoghue at his most insane.
Pictures on the radio.
Why did they send you here?
It doesn't ruin your vision like a TV show.
You do have a silly buddy.
Practice yoga on the ground or get up and walk around.
You can do it when you're listening to the radio.
Lunchtime.
You can shave or wash your hair while our show is on the air. You can cook up a fondue and we'd still be coming through. You can stay in bed and you'll find we don't care at all. Just as long as you keep listening to the radio.
Tell it to the Bugle Corps.
Oh, yeah.
Say we're smoking reefer on the radio while we're really eating cookies and you never know.
We could tell you we look great when we're really overweight.
You can get away with so much on the radio.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
So tell them what you look like on the radio. Because if they never see you, then they'll never know.
Doesn't matter if you've acne.
Because they'll never know exactly
what you look like when they listen to the radio.
Yeah.
R-A-D-I-O.
Not television.
R-A-D-I-O.
Wearing blunders.
R-A-D-I-O.
Or vacuum cleaners.
R-A-D-I-O.
You get the picture?
R-A-D-I-O.
Thank you, Marconi.
Mr. Brando? I understand you refused your Academy Award because of your sympathy with the Indians. Isn't that correct?
Yeah.
And most of your energies are now devoted to helping the Indians, aren't they?
Yeah. Yeah, that's the way I spend most of my time now.
Well, now, could you tell us why you believe in expending so much of your efforts in aiding the Indian cause?
Well, for one thing, because of the way the Indians have been treated in this country. I mean, you go out to the reservation and you see how they live. They live like pigs. You know, I mean, because it's the only way they can live. It's the only way the government will let them live. That's one of the reasons. Of course, there are other reasons.
What are some of the other reasons, Mr. Brando?
Dark meat. Boy, I love that stuff.
Beg your pardon?
Dark meat. Oh, boy.
I'm sorry, Mr. Brando. Are you inferring that the...
Those Indian squaws, boy. They look like bunnies. Boy, you get one of them squaws and they'll stick it out of you. You know what I tell them to do? I tell them to take these two fingers and cut the fingernails off and stick them up my ass. And I tell them to fuck a pig and to eat its vomit. God, I love that.
A little Miss Muffet. She sat on a tuffet. She wasn't eating her curves. She wasn't eating her way. She wasn't eating her way into my... Miss Muffet. Yes, he did. Miss Muffet away. Miss Muffet's found a way into my heart. Oh, Miss Muffet. What does this show me the way? It's nice to know I pray to heaven. And here's what I say. Ow! Little Miss Muffet, keep on, keep on keeping on your toughest. Got to eat your curds. Got to eat your way. Have mercy, eat your way into my heart.
You know, Ed Sullivan, we kid him a lot, but Ed Sullivan is one of the greats of this business. And in the cab on the way over to the studio tonight, I had a funny thought. What if Ed Sullivan were tortured? And when I say tortured, what I mean is, what if steel needles, say 6 inches long, were plunged into Ed's eyes? I think it would go something like this.
Canada, and right back out again with nothing to declare. Banff, Alberta. And here in Western Canada's unspoiled Rocky Mountain playground, members of the sinister Canadian Nazi Party meet in their annual rally. The strutting beige shirts gather to stage a book burning of Canadian authors' works, but call off their plans when not enough books can be found to start a fire. Would-be burners of possible books, the sinister Canadian Nazi Party, meeting in Banff, Alberta. Moose Factory. And blood stains the snow in this isolated subarctic community as Royal Canadian Mounties battle Eskimos after being sent to repossess an iron lung. Softened by lush living off the profits of their soap carvings, Moose Factory's Eskimo tribe had gone on an iron lung shopping spree. This tubercular 98-year-old Eskimo woman is dragged from her iron lung and out into the cold where she belongs as husky dogs bark and a finance company representative adds up interest charges. Royal Canadian Mounties doing their duty as always in the blood-stained northern tundra. Ottawa. A moving spectacle unfolds in the Senate of the Canadian Parliament as attendants remove the venerable 104-year-old Senator Cornish Wallaby from the bench where he had sat undetected for the past 35 years. Listed as dead in Senate records, the grand old man of Canadian Parliament was discovered during the current recess by a cleaning lady. All Parliament Hill applauds the 104-year-old Senator Cornish Wallaby on his way to the ambulance. Canada's own Rip Van Winkle found fast asleep in the Senate. Toronto. And 25 of Canada's greatest pro hockey stars arrived to match wits against retarded children in a charity spelling bee. Thousands of eager Torontonians strained to catch a glimpse of their favorite players, and it's Stanley Cup tension as competition gets underway. Our Maple Leaf Megaphone newsreel camera catches the concentration on the faces of the contestants and the disappointment. as all 25 of Canada's greatest pro hockey stars lose out in the qualifying rounds. Little Jimmy is a happy mongoloid and a champion speller. Pro hockey stars lose out to retarded children in a charity spelling bee. Truro, Nova Scotia, and Canadian Department of Transport icebreakers prepare to embark on another vital mission to try and find the province of Newfoundland, missing in the fog-shrouded Atlantic wastes for more than 15 years. Previous expeditions have had to turn back empty-handed, but hope runs high that this time, Canada's 10th and newest province will be located at last. Rescue ships setting to sea in search of the missing province of Newfoundland. Kamloops, British Columbia, and the Lord Tweedsmuir Games, featuring North America's third largest indoor checkers tournament, are interrupted by the appearance of a strange furry creature known in legend as the Sasquatch Monster. Our Maple Leaf Megaphone newsreel camera catches a fleeting glimpse of the half-human, half-animal beast as children run and dogs bark hysterically. But order is quickly restored as officials discover that the Sasquatch Monster is only Miss Kamloops for 1974. A happy ending to a moment of panic at the Lord Tweedsmuir Games in Kamloops, British Columbia. The Maple Leaf Megaphone Newsreel marches through customs into Canada and right back out again with nothing to declare.
And now, the National Lampoon Radio Hour is proud to present the sensational comedy of Dr. Andrew Tillman, cardiologist.
Take that Hippocratic Oath, please. I would have taken it myself, but I'm no hypocrite. Moving right along, I want to tell you, students, that a funny thing happened to me on my way to the operating table. A nurse came up to me and said, "Doctor, how many sutures are we going to need for this operation?" I said, "Nurse, suit yourself. Now take my patient, please." He told me that he was very frightened because this was his first operation. I told him I know just how he feels because it's my first operation, too. But seriously, students, this patient may not have been born in this hospital, but he sure is dying here. No kidding, though. Before this operation is over, if I don't run out of patients, I'll have him in stitches.
We close our broadcasting day, as usual, with Nat Lamp onto my feet. Tonight's inspirational message will be delivered by the Reverend Otto A. Brown.
In these troubled times, when problems like political corruption, unemployment, mental illness, racial strife, and the breakup of the family seem to be ever on the increase, when one war is no sooner ended than another begins in some other part of the globe, when sometimes we get up in the morning and feel that we look out on a sea of hate which threatens to engulf everything worth saving in this tired old world of ours, in times like these, it is more important than ever that we prepare a place in our hearts where the peace and loving kindness of our Savior can enter in. Love thy neighbor, Jesus said. And we know that he meant by that not just the fellow who lives literally next door to you, but all our neighbors all around the world, whether they're black, white, or yellow, rich or poor, male or female, old or young, long hair or short hair. For how are we going to achieve the happiness and prosperity we're all striving for if we turn against one another with hate instead of love in our hearts? If we are going to preserve any hope for lasting peace in the world, we must learn to live in harmony with all races, colors, and creeds, whether Catholic, Protestant, Baptist, Communist, Atheist, Hindu, all except the Jews. Because, let's face it, the Jews killed Christ. They killed him, just the same as if they had murdered him, and we can never forgive them for it. And now, thanking you for listening, this is the Reverend Otto A. Brown saying, God bless you, and good night.
the sand like a clam. But now I'm kind of funky, whoa, yes I am. I'm your methadone maintenance man. Your methadone maintenance man, yeah. La 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 la. One of these days I'm gonna spit this scene. Won't need no dope and no soap, I'll be Mr. Clean.
We will return to the Final Edition Radio Hour after this.
And now, some more of the Final Edition Radio Hour.
And now, an important message from the American Dental Association and the Big Game Conservation Society.
It is important that you know how to brush your teeth properly to prevent conditions such as gingivitis, tooth decay, and massive unpopularity. Here's how to brush and hunt big game properly. Apply a thin strip of toothpaste on your toothbrush and have $55,000 ready. Start with the upper left molars. Hold the toothbrush parallel to your teeth and your gun parallel to the lion's head. Once you've killed a defenseless wild animal, decapitate him and leave the body in a nature preserve, making sure to move the bristles in an up and down motion. With any luck, you'll clean your teeth without becoming the most hated man in America. If you do become the most hated man in America, close your mouth as well as your practice. You'll never work again or find a place to live, but just look at your smile.
Dentistry and big game hunting are both covered by Mutual of Omaha.
Lupus. It can ignite inflammation through your entire body, attacking virtually any
We interrupt this broadcast with an important announcement. Blake and Miranda are getting divorced. I can't even... Back to the program.
This is Food Beat, where we patrol the latest in food. This week, Two Forks in West Los Angeles.
Hi, I'm here at Two Forks on La Cienega with owner Ronnie Mason. Ronnie, didn't this place used to be called Three Plates, then Two Plates when you broke one of the plates?
Yeah, but we got new plates. We got all the plates you want now.
Well, it's good to hear things are looking up.
You done with that fork?
When is it my turn with the fork?
Shut up! I will kill you!
That's Two Forks on La Cienega, and this is Food Beat.
Welcome to the Absurd Minute. I'm Giuliana Forlano. Everyone is talking about the first GOP presidential debate, or as Democrats like to call it, last comic standing. Donald Trump is dominating in the latest polls, but don't worry. If Trump's elected president, there's a good chance he'll leave us for a younger country. A younger, blonder country. Trump hired a former Sarah Palin aide as his political director. He's also apparently hired Bozo's gal to do his hair. Meanwhile, candidate Scott Walker and the Wisconsin GOP are being sued for allegedly rigging and tampering with elections. When reached for comment, former Florida Governor Jeb Bush said, yeah, it was them that did that up there in Wisconsin, not us. When reached for comment, the Supreme Court said, Scott Walker shouldn't stand in the way of true democracy. That's our job. When reached for comment, the American voter said, Scott Walker? Who is Scott Walker? They don't know who he is. Let's hope it stays that way. The only female Republican presidential candidate, Carly Fiorina, wasn't invited to the first presidential debate. She'll be welcome at a future debate, though, probably the one that has about 77% of the viewership. Meanwhile, GOP presidential hopeful Ted Cruz released a video of himself cooking bacon on the barrel of an assault rifle. It's his way of trying to identify with his ideal of America, where everyone can own guns, but no one can afford a frying pan. Two men were arrested for running a meth lab out of a McDonald's. Police became suspicious when they saw two very skinny people repeatedly going to McDonald's. Doesn't happen. Puerto Rico failed to make its $58 million debt payment owed to vulture capitalists. In lieu of money, they promised to return every hubcap stolen in the Bronx since 1969. Bugs Bunny turned 75 this week, and he's still asking,
meep. What's up, Doc?
Well, whatever it is, Bugs, if it's up for more than 4 hours, get help. You're listening to The Absurd Minute. I'm Juliana Forlano. Find our full-length show at julianaforlano.com. These jokes are brought to you by the month of August. August. It's the Sunday night of summer. Enjoy.
Hi, I'm Cristiano Ronaldo, star forward for Real Madrid, and I'm taking time out of my extremely busy and important ball-kicking schedule to clear something up. The other day, I have an interview to promote my super awesome, really, really good new headphones. Headphones by Cristiano Ronaldo. But the interviewer wanted to talk about corruption in Qatar. I said I was so focused at being good at kicking a ball that I didn't care about FIFA and corruption and death and things like that. Qatar, I said? I don't give a fuck. I literally said that to an interviewer in real life, and people were very confused and mad at me. So I want to clear it up. What I meant to say was this. I am a footballer. I am really, really good at kicking a ball, and that is the most important job in the whole world. And you know how I know? Because I get paid more than anybody else ever to do it. So yeah, obviously people are dying to build a stadium for me to kick a ball in. It's probably a huge honor for them to die in such a way. That's how important kicking a ball is. And I am the best at kicking a ball. So that makes me the best. And that's it. Good. So now we've cleared that up? Buy my headphones. Headphones by Cristiano Ronaldo. Because I'm a footballer. Obviously, I also make great headphones.
Want to win an election? Buy it on eBay.
I know.
Whether it's a national primary or a statewide recall.
News just in. Reba and Narvel are getting divorced. I mean, for real? If those guys can't make it work, then, well, I just don't know. I guess that's it then. Love is dead. Bad news, everyone. Love is dead. And now, back to the program.
Man on the street!
For the first time since being overwhelmed by sex charges, comedian Bill Cosby must give a deposition about charges of sex with an underaged girl at the Playboy Mansion. The final edition asks the man on the street, what do you think?
I think this is going to be on his album, I Started Out as a Child Molester.
You see, Your Honor, I never touched the grease in my...
I guess Russell wasn't the only person he slept with.
This is another young person who used to look up to him.
She looked up to him because he was on top of her.
I swear to tell the greases, Eisen, and nothing but the greases, Eisen.
Well, I hope that's the last time that actresses get exploited.
Apparently you have to have sex with Cosby just to get on the jury.
He was just trying to teach them a valuable life lesson. Which is, if you go to him for help, you will be raped.
Well, that's our show. Thanks for listening to the Final Edition Radio Hour. The voices of the Final Edition are performed by Bruce Cherry, Jen Dodd, Jim Earle, Rob Gordon, Tony Hindra, Jeff Hendrick, Dan Vitale, Jeff Chrysler, Barry Lank, John Marshall, Abby Parker, Rachel Rauch, Steve Rosenfield, James Mount, Rob Miller, Kayla Merrill, Andrew Danish, Leslie Shapira, Anne Tuchel, and Darby Worley. Credit to our writers at the Final Edition Radio Hour, Bruce Cherry, Jen Dodd, Jim Earle, Rob Gordon, Tony Hindra, Jeff Hendrick, Abby Parker, Jeff Chrysler, John Marshall, Barry Lank, Leslie Shapira, Kurt Weitzman, Kate Knowles, Jeremy Rayburn, and Steve Rosenfield. The Final Edition is produced and directed by Tony Hindra and Jeff Chrysler, West Coast production by Barry Lank. Audio edited and engineered by Greg Russ and Andrew Hammond. The Final Edition Radio Hour is the property of the Final Edition LLC, copyright 2014.